All right, we're good to go. Anybody need a book?
Nope, nobody needs a book. Good. Amen. All right. We had a memory verse last time we were together. It seems like we were together a month of Sundays ago because of the missions conference. But amen. Anybody got a word testimony you want to share before we get started? Anybody got something you want to share? Anything at all? If nothing, let's go to Ephesians then. And the verse that we left off on was Ephesians 4:15.
I have a testimony.
Yes, Ms. Dawson.
I just praise God for safety to California.
Amen.
And a great time with the seniors for the interview day. I just really enjoyed it.
Amen. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. Brother Shurga, I maintained my testimony even when they gave away my room. When everything in me wanted to shout and
scream. Oh, well, you had a reservation and they gave it away?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've had that happen.
And, you know, it was late. It was like 2 in the morning because we got down there late.
And they put you in whatever was left, right?
Well, actually, they put me in an entirely different hotel.
Had that happen too?
And it was...
It was
terrible. For lack of a better word. It was a type of hotel that I would not even put someone, I wouldn't even put my enemy in this hotel.
Did you have the cockroach choir standing up their sink?
Pretty much. Yeah. And I was not thrilled about it. It's that type when you want to sleep standing up. You don't want to touch anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And the kids were kind of like, ooh.
I said, what's that green stuff?
I said, I feel you guys as pain. You have to be spiritual. Kids, well, you know, it's not so bad. And you might be thinking, no, it's not so bad. It's terrible. So trying to keep a good impression, a good testimony with them.
In comparison, it really wasn't so bad. I mean, it was much worse.
It was. You know. So, but coming back, they did keep our reservations, which was a blessing. And that was awesome. So we thank God for that. Good morning, Devin.
Good morning.
That was awesome. Do you need a book, brother? One of these books?
Yes, please.
And good morning. So it ended up being good coming back. And had a tremendous, tremendous room. Amen. How's your mom?
She's doing well.
Good, amen. All right, so let me make sure this is going.
It is going.
All right, amen. Okay, so Ephesians 4:15 is where we left off at in our book. So let's go ahead and go there. And again, we're on chapter number 3, Maximizing Your Marriage. By communicating with your mate, we've looked at commitment is number 1. Honoring your mate is number 2, and those things are irreplaceable. Then number 3 is maximizing by communicating with your mate, and we looked at several things there already. And by way of communication, mainly that ladies and men communicate differently, which we understand that. And so now we're at the point on page 18. Where we are reading these scriptures and writing down the guidelines they give about effective communication. So we'll read that together, then we'll pray, and then we'll talk a little bit more about each one of these verses and kind of put them into the marriage framework that we have. Amen. So let's read Ephesians 4:15 together. I know it says 8. We're going to do the whole thing there. Here we go. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4:15. Now, Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we ask now that you would bless in our time that we have together as we discuss some things here in effective communication in marriage. Lord, I pray that you would help us, enable us to become better communicators. Lord, I know many of us are already good in our communication. But there's always improvement that we can come upon and make in our lives. And so I pray that as we understand more about men and women, how we communicate differently, we might have that effective communication that you would have us to have. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and our work in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right. Looking at this verse here, notice what it says here a little bit. Let's just kind of pick this apart a little bit. It says, but speaking the truth in love. It comes off of the area where he's talking about spiritual gifts there and how Jesus gave some spiritual gifts. And he talks about the apostles there in verse 11. The prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers are gifts that he gave for verse 12 for perfecting of the saints and maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry, the edifying body of Christ. Those gifts
were given for that reason. He says in verse 13, we want to all come in the unity. In other words, we want to learn more about Christ. And then he says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or mature man to measure the stature of the fullness of Christ. So again, learning more about Christ and becoming unified. Then verse 14, he says the reason for this unity, the reason for these gifts that he's given to the church is that we henceforth be no more children. He said, don't want you to be like little kids anymore, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and any kind of teaching that comes along. I don't want you to get thrown away or caught up with that. You can get caught up with that by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness that these guys lie by in wait to deceive you. So he says, I don't want that to happen. He says, but this is what I want to happen. But speaking the truth in love. He wants the truth to be spoken, but in love. And so let's talk about that for just a moment. Speaking the truth in love. Why is it in marriage necessary to speak the truth, number one? Why is it necessary in marriage to speak the truth? Why can't we lie to our mates?
Iron sharpeneth iron.
Iron sharpeneth iron? Amen. Why not lie?
If you don't speak the truth, you really don't get to know one another.
Amen. You don't get to know one another. Praise God.
And you don't learn how to deal with one another. So you may as well get the truth so you can figure out how to cope.
Amen. Now, let's all own up to this fact. We all have lied in marriage. Mm-hmm. Let's just own up to it. Somebody said, does that look good? And we said yes, and we thought, no, it doesn't. Okay, that's a lie. Does this taste good? Yes, it does. No, it really doesn't taste good. Amen. How do I look fine? No, you don't look fine, but I said yes anyway. So we know we've lied in marriage. So we know we've done these little white lies, if you would call it little white lies, still an untruth. The goal should be to speak the truth, but in love. That should be the goal. So we understand that we are human, we are sinners, and we don't always speak the truth. And I think it's because of that balance of truth and love. Truth hurts, doesn't it?
Yes, sometimes.
You know, one of the things that children are brutally honest, and they will tell you some things. You know, I'm getting the kids dressed in the morning. Josh will say, "Oh, Daddy, your breath stinks." Kind of like, "Son, could you put a little sugar on that, please?" And, you know, said a little better. So, "Yo, Daddy, your breath doesn't smell so good. Did you have coffee early this morning or something like that?" I mean, you know, and so it's true, but it hurts. And it's like, okay, is there a better way you could probably phrase that, son? You know, he's just a kid. He's just like, I'm just telling it like it is. So the truth oftentimes hurt, and because we know it hurts, we don't want to tell our mate the truth so much, so we kind of sugarcoat it or kind of say what we really know is not the right thing to say. The balance is finding the way to say it in love so that the truth not only does not hurt so bad, but it's received. And so that's the goal. So he says, but speaking the truth down there in love, notice this, may grow up into him in all things. So the goal is, as I speak the truth, I want to grow up in Christ. Now, what do we all desire for our children? To grow up. We want them to grow up. And we want them to grow up in Christ. Now, when it says grow up into him, now notice this. Grow up into him in all things. What does that mean, grow up into him in all things?
Become spiritually mature.
Become spiritually mature in how many things?
All.
All things. So God is wanting us to listen to the pastors and the teachers in verse 11. He wants us to be perfected in verse number 12. He said it's for the ministry, the work of the ministry. It's for the edifying so that everybody can be built up. He says, I want you to be unified. I want you to have the knowledge of Christ in verse number 13. He said, I want you to be tossed to and fro, but I want the truth spoken, and I want it spoken in love, and I want you to be able to grow up in all things. That would include our marriage relationship. That would include marriage. It also includes our relationship with our children. It also includes relationship with our bosses and our coworkers and fellow ministers and in-laws and outlaws and all the other laws. Amen. So he says, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So in other words, he says, I want you to be in Christ. I want you to get matured in Christ to be more like Christ. Did Christ speak the truth?
Yes.
Yes. Did he speak it in love?
Yes.
Yes. Did people still get mad?
Yes.
Yes. So if they got mad at Jesus, what are they going to do to us? Some folks are going to get mad. I mean, I don't care how you slice it. When you speak the truth, if it's not what I want to hear, I'm going to get upset. Right, wrong, or indifferent. If I don't want to hear that answer, I'm going to either like it or I'm going to get upset. There's a whole lot of reasons behind that, but we'll go into that in a minute. Amen. So let's look at this. Speaking the truth in love. How can we speak the truth and in love? Or why should we speak the truth in love? We know it's right to do. But how can we do it, and why should we do it that way?
We can do it when we're spirit-filled. And we should do it because we don't want to hurt. But I think oftentimes when we don't speak it in love, we're frustrated about it because we didn't deal with it when we should have. Or we have other things or issues going on in our lives. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And so love is out the window.
Amen. Ms. Dawson, she strikes on a good point. She said, we get frustrated because we often didn't deal with it when we should have the first time. We didn't deal with it the right way initially, and now it has built up. And so now a situation has come up, and so when we do deal with it, we throw a whole bunch of other stuff with it. Y'all feel me with that one?
Yeah.
Oftentimes that happens. If I didn't deal with it the first time the right way, then it comes back again. I put that in my pocket. I said, okay, I gloss over that. And I put that in my pocket. I gloss over that. And I took that one in that pocket. And I took that one in that pocket. And then, all right, now that's it. Now what do I do? I throw out that. I throw out this. I throw out that. And I throw it all out. And I'm speaking the truth, but there's not a lot of love in that. Because now I'm frustrated. So that is one thing to keep in mind. If I'm going to speak the truth in love, I've got to make sure that I deal with it early, and I deal with it, as Tony said, spiritually, and not let stuff build up. Oftentimes we let things go and we think, well, you know, it's no big deal. But if I let it build up, what is it going to become? Big deal. You know, think about it. If I got a drip in my faucet and it keeps dripping, is it a big deal?
Eventually it will be.
If I catch every drop, what am I going to have? I'm going to have a bucket of water. You know, I got to deal with it. And so it is in the marriage relationship. If I don't deal with things and truthfully and in love, it's like the drops in the bucket is going to keep building up. And sooner or later, I'm going to have a bucket of cold water pour on somebody's head. And that's really not what I want to do. And so I've got to deal with it spiritually. Why else and how can I deal with this speaking the truth in love? Give me some other input. Speaking the truth in love, how can I do that and why should I do it? What things should I consider maybe?
Well, why is we hope for the good of our partner that they will grow up in Christ to maturity. And God has brought us together for that purpose, to help each other get there.
Amen.
So we have to say it. As you say, sometimes the hard part is knowing when to say it, how to say it. Even if you get all that right, they still may not receive it. And then the hard part is, you know, Paul said, the more I love, the less I be loved. And the reason was he was speaking the truth to people, and it was truth they needed to hear, but they didn't want to hear it.
Amen.
And they rejected him. And the hard part, I guess, in marriage is handling that part and remembering what Jesus did and just continuing to love.
Amen. And again, Steve brings on a good point, like Ms. Dawson did, spiritually. Notice what he says there. Speaking the truth in love may grow up. If the truth is not spoken to this person in love, are they going to grow up?
They're going to throw it away.
They're going to throw it away. What else might they do? If they're not going to grow up, what are they going to do?
They might go back.
They may be stymied. They may be hindered. They may become a spiritual midget.
Yeah.
Now it may not be with other relationships, but if this person is married to me, guess what? They may be a midget as far as my communication is with them. They're not going to receive my communication because now they can't grow up in Christ. They can't grow up in Him because my words that came were, yes, truthful, but they weren't in love. So I have minimized him or minimized her or done whatever. Now this person is a spiritual midget because they can't grow in my presence because I'm not allowing them to grow. I'm not helping them to grow because the truth that I'm speaking is not in love. So I'm not really helping them. Think about children. Are children going to grow up if we continue to just get on them, stay on them, demean them, belittle them? Are they going to grow emotionally? No. If they do, they're going to grow deformed. And so emotionally, they won't be able to handle anything. So Paul is saying that if I'm going to speak the truth in love, I'm going to have all the things that verses 11, 12, 13, and 14 talk about. Then 15, I've got to speak the truth in love. And I've got to facilitate an atmosphere where my partner can grow up into Christ in all things. And I've got to give them the liberty and the ability to grow in all things. So what do I need to consider if I'm going to do that then? To help this person grow. Well, what do I need to consider about them as I'm speaking this truth and attempting to speak it in love? What do I need to consider about that person?
Who they are, where they are.
Who they are, where they are, where they come from. What else do I need to consider about this person? Maybe what they're going through at this time?
Yeah.
And what has gone into me having to tell them this truth in love? You know, going back to Joshua, you know, he's speaking the truth. It's not in love. He's not understanding. I just drank some coffee. I mean, he only smells the coffee that's been brewed on the pot. He doesn't smell it going in my body and coming back out. You know, so he doesn't understand it. Yes, honey?
I was just thinking, life is, you know, like the old saying, life is fragile.
Mm-hmm.
And we should really just handle it in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But growing up, like we were telling our kids, you know, they want to fight each other and be unkind to each other. You know, being in the home is a training ground for them to learn how to deal with others.
Mm-hmm.
And just like with marriage, you know, just in facilitating, you know, their disappointments and frustrations with each other, you know, they have an opportunity to grow in ways that I didn't, because my parents did not say, do this and this is why, and, you know, you just had nothing. And now with them, you know, and I kind of sit back and I watch their friendships, and they're the most precious thing. It's like, wow, you know, it took me to adulthood to be able to, you know, have that, because, you know, my parents never gave me anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just, don't do this. You're not doing this, you know. But, and then in a marriage, you know, when you grow up, you know, and you're learning how to deal with each other, you know, that's going to even help us as we deal with each other to deal with others.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just fragile, you Amen. Know, because of where people have been and what they've gone through.
Amen.
But I think if we could just step back, you know, too often we just see ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Our lives are the most important ones, we think, but we have to see others.
Amen. You know,
they're more important.
And Mr. Dawson mentions the fragileness. Notice verse 16. It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So in other words, what Paul is saying, this body of Christ, every part is in there. It's all working together. It's interchangeable, and everything is affecting other parts, like your knee affects your elbow and your arm and all these things. He says, working together. Now, if I've got bad communication, if I'm not speaking the truth in love, then this body is not going to be compacted together. It's going to be more, as Ms. Dawson said, fragile. Anybody play the Jenga?
Yeah.
You got to pull the little blocks out. You know, if I start pulling things out and I'm not giving the truth in love, this marriage relationship, this communication is going to be like Jenga, and sooner or later it's going to fall apart. And it's going to fall apart at the time when I really can't afford it to fall apart. I mean, think about it. You're playing Jenga, you never want it to fall apart when it's your turn, amen? But it seems that you're playing this game and boom, it's going to fall apart. You know, we're playing with faith. And faith, believe it or not, plays from taking off the top. I said faith doesn't work that way. You can't pull them off the top. Then there's no challenge to the game. So, you know, when we look at this, we think, well, I'll just play this marriage relationship thing like this. I'll just pull from the top. You can't pull from the top because communication is not from the top. It's from here, 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 and here, and all the communication is in different places. So as I'm communicating, sometimes it's going to come here, sometimes down here. It'd be easy if it was always off the top. And then it would be a pretty good piece. I mean, I'd just take one off, one off, one off. And I go right on top. But marriage relationships are not that way. I mean, like Ms. Gonzalez, it's fragile. Like Steve said, I've got to approach this thing spiritually. And Paul is saying its body is compacted, it's fit, it's joined together. And the marriage relationship is that way as well. And notice that last part down there says, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in what? Love again. So I'm speaking the truth in love. I'm trying to grow up into him in all things. Down there it says in verse 16, this whole process of edifying or building up is in love. And Paul wants you to know that, by the way, the Bible still says, for God so loved the world. The Bible still says God is love. Now, as Christian folk, if we're saved, we have that love in us. And so I need to speak that truth in that same love that God has given me. So when you look at that, that how and that why. The why is I want to make sure that I'm helping my mate. I'm not stymieing my mate. I'm speaking the truth in love. I'm not hurting intentionally. But what am I doing? I'm trying to help my spouse to become better, to grow up into Christ. I never want them to go backwards. I never want them to go down. I want them to go up. Now, that is going to be a teeter-totter balance. Just is. Now, men, we don't have the emotional makeup as ladies. Ladies, you don't have the emotional makeup of men. And so we have to understand that. You know, ladies aren't going to think like men. Men aren't going to think like ladies. Devin, I'm sorry, we don't think like ladies. I mean, I wish we did. You know, then there wouldn't be any problems, amen. You know, let's see why ladies get along so good with each other, amen, because they understand each other. You know, we kind of like, we scratch our heads, we think, okay, you know, well, why'd that affect you this way? It wouldn't affect me that way. Yeah, because we're not ladies.
I'm looking into hormone therapy.
That's it. So now, some men have a little bit more estrogen than other men. Some men have a little bit more testosterone. And so, you know, it all depends on the dosage of hormones that you have. Amen. Yes, Ms. Dawson.
But the most beautiful thing is, you know, it's God. He's the glue. Mm-hmm. You know, because when it does fall apart, you know, if we're trusting in God and obeying what God has to say, he continues to, it's like, you know, you may fall, things may break down, but you keep trusting the Lord and he just builds it back up.
Amen.
You may have another, you know, weekend, fall apart, but just keeping God in the midst.
Amen.
Is vitally necessary, because just reading his word every day, it just puts you in your place. You know, you see sin all over the place, right? Hey, every time, amen, I read. You see pride, you see, and God reminds you, look, you got some of this right now, you need to turn it over, you know?
Amen.
And just keeping God's word in the forefront is really what keeps us in our place.
Amen. And I would jump on that. You can't stress being the word of God enough. Amen. When it comes to dealing with our spouses and then with our children. You know, I'm in the word of God every day, and I still lose it with my children. I'm thinking, Lord, I mean, I'm in the word, I mean, an hour and a half. As soon as I come out, there's a mess. Who got this mess? I mean, I just got finished reading. I just got finished praying and getting right with God. And, oh, things are good. And I walk out and see a mess. Oh, who did this? I'm thinking, hey, it just went out the window. I'm like, my soul, what did I just do with that devotional time that I had before when it was so sweet and I walked out and saw a tornado and I just lost it. I'm like, man, I'm like, man, if we understand the vital necessity of being in the Word of God, I mean, you cannot operate in the Spirit if you don't have that. And so that is so very, very true. Give you a couple of things to think about here. When it says, but speaking the truth in love, we've got to approach this with the idea of not hurting my mate intentionally, number one. I don't want to intentionally hurt my mate. Now, I believe that from the bottom of our hearts, none of us intentionally want to hurt our mates. But now, I've got to be realist. Why do we hurt our mates then? If we're not intentionally trying to hurt our mates, why do we? We're not trying to, but then we hurt them. How does that process happen? And we know we do it because they tell us oftentimes. How does that process happen?
It takes effort to continuously think about somebody other than yourself.
Amen. Thinking about somebody.
To put somebody else's needs before yours.
And so in other words, before I give this out, and I'm not trying to intentionally hurt this person, I need to really do an out-of-body experience and come over here and say, what are they going through right now? What are they thinking about right now? How is what I'm going to say going to affect them? How is it going to hit them? what's going to be their possible reactions to what I'm going to say. Now, what negates me from doing that? Why don't we do that? Because that's what we ought to do. Like Devin said, I ought to come over here pretty much and say, okay, well, how are my words going to affect my spouse? What are they going to do? What negates me from doing that process oftentimes? Begins with an A.
I think because we think on our level and not really, I don't know how to explain that. But we think that it should be this way, but we don't want to look at it the way they see it.
So basically what Devin said, I'm not really concentrating on them. I've got to not be selfish. I've got to look at it from them.
Yeah.
And that's true. Something else is going to stop me. Anger. Anger is not going to allow me to think clearly. That's what the Bible says. Be ye angry and sin not. Pride is not going to let me see their part. Why? Because pride says, like Devin says, I'm right. Like you say, I'm right. And you should see it the way I see it. Okay, well, I'm not you, so I can't see it the way you see it. So that's why I got to do the out-of-body experience to come over here and say, okay, how is this going to affect them? You know, my little Joshua, bless his heart, you can always tell when you've hurt his feelings. As soon as you hurt his feelings, his shoulders go down like that. I mean, right off. I say, okay, Joshua, pick the shoulders up. What did I say? What did I do? Because as soon as he gets discouraged, boom, he'll go like that. Now, G2, he'll just kind of, he'll suck it up and he'll look, you know. Faith will kind of be like, hey. But Joshua is so visual. He is so emotional. And he'll shuck those shoulders down. And I say, come back here, son. Come back here. Let's talk about that. So I've got to think about here. I don't want to intentionally hurt my spouse, but I want to truthfully communicate with her or him. And so I've got to do it in love. So that means I've got to really think, how is this going to affect them when I say it? Can I always say it at the time that I want to say it?
No.
What might I have to do sometimes?
Wait.
What am I waiting for?
For an opportunity, but sometimes an opportunity, it's like you said, you don't say anything and then you put it in your pocket and then you expose it. You're like, oh, wait.
Sometimes you've got to wait. And you got to wait until they cool down or whatever. Sometimes you have to preface it by saying, you know, I've got to tell you something, and I know you really don't want to hear this, and it might hurt, but I'm really not trying to hurt you. I love you. And you got to kind of put some sugar on it before you give it, you know. Put some sugar on it, a little spoonful of honey, you know, and say, okay, this is not going to taste good. Kind of put your arm around them. You know, I love you, you know, but I got to give you this medicine. And I know it's not going to taste good. I mean, you got to love up on them first because this is truth, but I got to put some love on that, you know, because I want them to swallow it. I mean, you think about babies, you know, you got to try to put some honey around their lips before you give them that medicine so they can, that tastes good. And you put the real medicine on there, and they're like, that don't taste good, you know. But they've got that honey taste on there, you know, so they're like, honey. So when you get ready to give them the medicine, they're like, more honey. That ain't honey, you know. But then you put some more honey on there, like, okay, so now I can stomach this medicine a little bit better. Why? Because sometimes I can't wait, because if I wait, I'm going to put it in my pocket, and I'm going to explode later. And so I've got to communicate in such a way where I know this is uncomfortable. You know, my wife and I, we've had some issues that we've had to deal with. We first got saved, and they were some issues that they were not comfortable issues. But we still had to talk about it. We had to say, you know, I love you, but this is the way it is. You know, this is going to be tough. And I know it's not, but I'm going to get that honey on there. And so sometimes we have to do that. If we're not going to intentionally hurt our mates or our spouses, and we know that certain times we have to wait, other times we cannot wait, then we've got to really make sure that we reassure them of our love. Remember, what causes a mate to shut down? Fear of rejection. If I feel in any way, shape, fashion, or form that you're not going to receive what I'm trying to give you, I will shut down. If I feel rejected in any way, shape, fashion, or form, that I'm going to bring that back, and I'm not going to give that because you rejected the last thing that I gave you.
And so I'm not. Put it in my pocket.
Exactly. Put it in my pocket. And so that's why both mates have to be really open and be listening, not just with my ears, but with my heart. What's behind what they're saying? Are they really trying to help me? I think every spouse really wants to make their mate better. I don't think we really want to intentionally hurt, but sometimes we do. So not intentionally hurting. Another key, think about trying to make my spouse better. I want to make my spouse better. I want them to be the best spouse that they can be. Not so much for me, but for Christ. Because he says down there, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. I want my spouse to be better in Christ, because if I can make my spouse better in Christ by my communications with them, by speaking the truth in love, guess what? Then they in turn are going to make me better. So my goal is to make them better in Christ so that they can grow up, because now they're going to make me better. They're going to make the children better. They're going to make everybody around me better. But if I do the opposite and belittle them and the communication is not spoken in love, what's going to happen? Often they're going to make me worse. And they're going to make the children worse. And they're going to make others around them worse. And they're not going to grow up. They're going to be a spiritual baby. So I don't want that. So I've got to understand that my spouse is speaking the truth in love to make me better. Another thing, I've got to consider my spouse's feelings. What is my spouse going through right now? Did they just lose their job? Did they just lose a loved one? Did they just lose a best friend? Are they going through an emotional, unstable time with a decision that they've made and it backfired or something? I mean, I understand their feelings. What are they going through? So when I'm preparing to speak this truth in love to my spouse, what are they going through? What's going on up here? What's going on here? How am I going to know what's going on up here and in here?
Communication,
that's what this is all about. Hey, what's going on? How you doing? My wife is good. Hey, what's going on? How you doing? Husband, fine. There's more to it than that. Fine. I'm trying to condition G too. How you doing, G? Good? Now you ask Joshua, how you doing? He's more emotional. Joshua will say, well, number one, I'm like this. And number two, I'm like this. And number three, I'm like this. Number four, and it's because of this. You're like, okay, Joshua, it's been an hour now, okay? You're at number 50 right now, okay? So now, can we just kind of sum that all up, son? And just bring it. And so, I've got the extremes. Joshua will give you everything. And G2 will give you a little bit. And so working with them on that balance. So consider their feelings. So not hurting them intentionally, I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to better my spouse for Christ. I'm considering their feelings. I'm trying to be honest with them as well and not hurt them. Because sometimes the truth does hurt. So I want to be truthful and not hurt them. By the way, keep this in mind. I don't know why we lose this perspective, but sometimes we think our spouses have no feelings and they're resilient and they can just take everything that we throw at them. And they'll bounce back. And sometimes words do get down. I mean, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That ain't true. Names hurt. I remember as a child when I went to the boys' club and all the bad kids were there. And man, I got punked. And they called me names. And I mean, I was a little pudgy little kid. And like, fat boy. I still remember that to this day. I see that guy's face. I'm sitting there with the basketball. And he said, give me the ball, fat boy. I mean, he said, what'd you do? You fought? I gave him the ball. What do you think I did? I had three sisters. I had no brothers. I had nobody to defend. I couldn't go home and get my big brother. I give him the ball. I'm like, he had big brothers. I'm like, if I don't give the ball, he's going to beat me up and take it anyway. But that word hurt me. And I think, and I'm sure there are words in your mind that your spouse has said to you. You still remember. Now, they may have apologized and asked your forgiveness, but you still remember that word that they said, or those words that they said, or the way in which they said it, or how they looked when they said it. And you can read between the lines that what they really wanted to say was something different than what they said. And you're thinking, man, I remember that. Amen. So thinking, through this whole process that, our mate, they're human too. They hurt too. They have feelings too. Some folks look at pastors. Pastors are insensitive. They're impervious to anything. We can talk to them the way you want to, and it'll never hurt their feelings. pastors have feelings too. Sometimes people talk to me and I hear things, and everything, they'll say, look, don't talk to me like that. I'm a person too. Don't. No, I'm not going to stand for that. I have to maintain my dignity and say, Lord, get them. Lord, get them. They know not what they say. And so keeping those things in mind, amen. Let's go on to this next one here real quick. We just got a few minutes left. But the first one, Ephesians 14:8, speaking the truth in love. Why? We're not hurting them intentionally. We're trying to help them. We're trying to better our spouse for Christ. We're trying to be honest with them. We're considering their feelings. We're understanding the truth hurts. They're human too. Go to Ephesians 4:29. You're at 4:15 now. Paul's still in the same framework here. Okay, thanks, brother. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that they minister grace unto the hearers. So again, talking about the same process here. Notice verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. He said, you know, you used to be a Gentile. You used to walk in an emptiness, a vanity about your life. He says, don't walk that way anymore. Verses 18 and 19 explains how they do behave, how they used to be, and how we used to be. But he says, but ye have not so learned Christ in verse 20. He said, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. So he says, all right, now you're learning how to communicate. You're growing up into him in all things. Now, I don't want you to walk like the other unsaved folks that are around you, but walk differently because now you've got Christ. You've tasted him. You've been taught by him. The truth is in Jesus, verse 21. Put off now that old conversation, that old way of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Again, getting in the Word of God, reading the Word of God. And then in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, who remembers one of another. So in my marriage relationship, I got to speak the truth, put away lying. Verse 26, be angry, sin not. It's okay to get angry at sin. Don't get angry at my sinful spouse. Be angry at the sin. That's a hard one to separate. Separating sin from sinner. Because we look at it, it came out of your mouth, so it's your fault. Amen. But he says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. What happens if we give place to the devil in our anger? Well, let's just think. What happened to Moses in his anger when he smote the rock?
He missed a big blessing.
He got denied the promised land. So if we do things in anger, then it's not going to turn out right. I don't care how much we call ourselves being righteously indignant or justifying. If we do it in anger, we're not doing it in the Spirit of God, in the power of God. That's why he says, sin not, don't let the sun go down in your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You give the devil an inch in your anger, he will take you on a ride. Don't give into it. Especially with your spouse, with your children, those are some of the most precious people in our lives that we say we love. He says, don't do it. Don't give in to anger. Now, I'm not saying I arrived. I struggle with it just like you. Like I said, being there with my Bible, getting my devotions and my prayer, and I walk right out the door and boom, I lose it. Man. So he says, don't let the sun go down your wrath. If you stole, he says, don't steal anymore. Verse 28. He said, let him give to him that needeth. Then the communication picks back up. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good or beneficial to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto who? The hearer. Who's going to be my hearer? My spouse or my children? I want to make sure that the things that I say now are so spoken in truth and in love and not anger, that what I say is not going to be corrupt, but is going to provide that which my spouse needs. It's good, it's beneficial. She can use that or he can use that to build them up, and it's going to give them grace and not grief. Because the devil wants our spouses to get grief. He wants our children to get grief. Why? If we give them grief, what's going to happen? They're not going to grow up. If I give my wife grief, she's not going to grow up. If I give my husband grief, he's not going to grow up. And he says, I want him to grow up in all things. And so Paul just continuing saying, these are some things to put in place that I want you to work on. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We're going to talk a little bit more about this one next week. But that's going to be our memory verse for this week. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, this is the one thing I want you to think about as you're meditating on this verse. Think about Are my words corrupt or Christ-like? It's simple. It's simple. When you speak, is this corrupt or is this Christ-like? You know, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, whether it's your boss, whether it's to neighbors, whether it's to, you know, the guy that gives your room away at the hotel. Is this corrupt or is this Christ-like? Now, if I was blowing my testimony with that guy, guess what, man? I had to come right back through there and saw the same guy. God would not have been glorified, number one. I would not have been able to chance to give him the gospel like I did. And I wouldn't be able to talk to his manager. And I wouldn't have got a free room either. Two free rooms on top of that. And I got $15 free gas, too. And we got bought drinks at the coffee shop for free. So, I mean, I had a lot of blessings. You know, not if corruptness had to come out, would those blessings have been there? I don't know. God might have had mercy on me. but I doubt it. Amen. So think this week, is this corrupt or is this Christ-like? Is it corrupt? Is it Christ-like? No matter who you talk to. Amen. Ephesians 4:29. That'll be our memory verse for next week. We'll talk about that a little bit more. And again, ways improving our communication. We want our listeners to hear, and we want them to know where we're coming from, but we've got to make sure that we give it in such a way that it's Christ-like and not corrupt. Father, thank you once again for the privilege of being in your house today. Lord, help us as mates and spouses. Lord, we know that we don't all often do the right things, but Lord, we so much want to do the right thing. We know that at times the situations may not be great, and we may not handle the situations properly. But Lord, help us to confess our faults before you, get that right with our mate if we have to, or our children. And then, Lord, let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearers. But we want them to be able to listen and find the grace that they need in us so that they can grow up in you in all things. God, help us never to be a stumbling block to our mate or our children. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, that's your verse for next week. Ephesians 4:29.
What is this?
Chef, you gonna hook me up?
Yeah, you got it, Pastor.
Thank you, sir.